Browns, talking birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store. Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By Birds and Beans shade-grown, bird-friendly coffee. Birdsandbeans.com.
And here's a special message from our friends at Ocean State Bird Club. They can't lead their free group walks right now, but they hope you're still getting your outdoor time in by watching birds. Find Ocean State Bird Club online at oceanstatebirdclub.org. Find them on Facebook, and you can tell them what you're seeing as the spring migration continues. Ocean State Bird Club. Good morning. Welcome to our show, number 783. The haunting sound there of the common loon, one of the birds that played a part in a virtual birding festival just this past week, the Rangeley Festival up in Maine, led in part by our friends from Maine Audubon. We're hoping they'll have a replay of the festival online for folks everywhere to see. Meanwhile, nearly 3,000 miles southwest of Rangeley, Maine, folks at Tucson Audubon are getting ready for their virtual birding festival in August. And that's the song of one of the birds we may see in that festival, the Lucy's Warbler. And we'll hear more about that event and that bird on this morning's show. And here's something completely different. I don't know if this bird will make an appearance at that Arizona festival, but it will be featured here on our show this morning. It's our mystery bird. And this is a preview of this morning's mystery bird contest with beautiful prizes awaiting. Our mystery bird is a large shorebird with long legs, a long upturned bill, black and white upper parts, and a rusty or gray neck and head. Our bird is a breeding inhabitant of shallow, fresh and saltwater wetlands and dry areas of western North America and parts of the Southeast, and in the winter is often found in mudflats and coastal lagoons and salt ponds. It feeds on aquatic invertebrates, which it locates by sight and snaps up, or catches by touch by sweeping its long, elegant bill through the water. Our mystery bird, that's a preview of our contest coming up a little bit later on in this morning's show.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Here are some of the stories and links we have for you right now on our TalkinBirds.com website and on our Facebook page. The coronavirus is a terrible thing, but the resulting lockdowns have produced some positive changes. A story in the Irish Times that we'll connect you to explains that the air is cleaner now in Irish cities, at least for now, and birdsong seems louder, and ravens are more relaxed. Watch bald eagles at the National Arboretum via two, count them, two cameras. We have a link to that. And 21 episodes of Birds. Watch the Birds of North America video series with the amazing Jason Ward. He was one of the leaders of Black Birders Week. Episode 1 features Jason's talk and bird walk with renowned author Jonathan Franzen, who happens to be an ardent conservationist and a superstar birder, as well as a superstar author with considerably more than 4,000 species on his global life list. Those are some of the links on our TalkinBirds.com website and our Facebook page right now. Meanwhile, if you'd like to talk about birds or share comments, photos, and videos with fellow birders and nature lovers, the Talkin' Birds flock may be for you. To find it, just go to Facebook.com and enter Talkin' Birds flock in the search bar there.
I just want to thank you.
How fortunate we are that we have so many wonderful listeners becoming Talkin' Birds ambassadors and helping us get the word out about our show and about birds and conservation. And we want to say thank you to Jen R. from Weymouth, Massachusetts. Jen was a recent Mystery Bird Contest winner, by the way. And Jen, thank you so much for becoming a Talkin' Birds ambassador. And thank you to Kathy R. from Tangerine, Florida, She says, I've been listening to Talkin' Birds for about 6 months. A birding friend highly recommended your show, and I'm glad I gave it a try. I enjoy the challenge of the mystery bird contest, but have not yet listened to a live show. So hopefully one day I will enter. She says, when I play your show at home, my little parakeet sings along with your lively music. I enjoy your show so much that I wrote an article about it for the Orange County or the Orange Audubon Society's monthly newsletter. Thank you so much, Kathy. She says, I'd love to encourage others to listen to your show and learn more about birds and how to help conserve them. Thank you so much. Well, we announced last week that we've set an ambassador goal, hoping to reach 500 as the number of Talkin' Birds listeners who joined our Talkin' Birds ambassadors family, helping us to get the word out about the show and birds and conservation. And we're happy to report that the response has been most gratifying. In fact, we're now just 15 ambassadors shy of that 500 ambassador goal that we hope to reach by the end of June. So Talkin' Birds listeners, will you join the family? It's really easy to do. You sign up, we send you some of our little info cards, and you deliver them safely and securely to friends and coworkers and fellow birders and nature lovers. You can sign up right there under the Get Involved button at the top of the homepage at talkinbirds.com. That's talkinbirds.com. And again, on behalf of our entire Talkin' Birds team, thank you. Still to come on our show today, we'll talk with Tucson Audubon's Citizen Science Coordinator, Olya Phillips, about citizen science and her work watching over the nests and nest cams of some Lucy's warblers along the Tanque Verde Wash there in Tucson, Arizona. Plus, we'll catch up with Mike O'Connor on Cape Cod and an almost live from the archives Let's Ask Mike segment, in which Mike will address that oft-repeated question. What do I do with this baby bird I just found in my backyard? And up next, a bird that some say can predict the weather is today's featured feathered friend, presented by Birdwatching Magazine. For more than a quarter century, Birdwatching has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. In the southern states, some call our featured feathered friend the rain crow, or the storm crow. It's thought that these names refer to the bird's habit of calling on hot days and often seeming to predict rain or thunderstorms. The bird is the yellow-billed cuckoo. Brown above and black and white below, with a long tail that shows bold white spots underneath and a black curved bill with yellow, especially on the lower mandible, and with a yellow ring around the eye. Juveniles are similar, but the black on the undertail is gray instead. Yellow-billed cuckoos are often hard to see, since they usually sit quite still, even hunching their shoulders to hide their white underparts. Fortunately, their call is quite distinctive. And they may give it any time, night or day. And both males and females make a soft, repeated cooing sound. In summer, yellow-billed cuckoos are found in deciduous forests all over the East and as far west as Kansas, Nebraska, and Texas, searching for tent caterpillars along with outbreaks of cicadas or other large arthropods. Yellow-billed cuckoos are still fairly common in the East, but over the last half century, they've become rare out west. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed establishing more than 500,000 acres in 9 western states as critical habitat for the western populations of yellow-billed cuckoo. However, heavy pressure from livestock and mining industries have caused the Trump administration to attempt to end the protections for the yellow-billed cuckoo. Its genus name is from ancient Greek, kokouzou, which means to call like a common cuckoo. And its species name means of America. It's Coccyzus americanus, the yellow-billed cuckoo, today's featured feathered friend. Welcome again. It's our show number 783. Find out more about us at talkinbirds.com. No G in talkin. Talkinbirds.com. Well, they tell us that the Lucy's warbler is one of just two warbler species that nests in cavities, the other being the prothonotary warbler. For a long time, experts said the Lucy's warbler would not use a nest box also, but to tell us how we now know that that isn't the case, among other things, we welcome Olya Phillips. She's the Citizen Science and Nest Box Program Coordinator at Tucson Audubon, and she's here to tell us what she's learned about Lucy's warbler nesting and other things going on in southeast Arizona, where it's a balmy day today. It's only going to hit 93. Good morning, Olya.
Good morning, Ray.
That's dry heat, though. We always remind ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dry heat, but it's still heat.
It's still heat. So we watched that terrific video following you as you went around looking into nest boxes for a bird that was long thought to not use nest boxes or looking for eggs there. Tell us a bit more, Olya, about the misunderstandings surrounding this and what your work has done to kind of shatter some myths.
Yeah, so Lucy's warblers, like you said, being one of only two cavity nesting warblers in North America, and being such a special bird and having a close tie to mesquite trees, they're still not very studied very much. Hmm. Their breeding range is only centered in Arizona and the southern tips of the bordering states. So there was a paper that studied their nesting habits in the 1980s, and since then it's been misquoted multiple times, saying that the study said that Lucy's warblers will not use nest boxes, period. Mm-hmm. But what actually the paper said was that they didn't use their nest boxes. So it's just a matter of creating the right nest box for the species, which is exactly what Tucson Audubon set out to do.
Mm-hmm. And did you originally learn about this from pictures that folks sent to you? Is that what I understand, using nest boxes?
Yes, we started getting photographs from our volunteers, from our members, saying that I have this bird nesting in this little decorative house that I put out, not thinking anything would even use it, but Lucy's warbler starting to use it. And they were using things like metal posts for holding up signs. They were using old fountains also. And we thought that there was something behind that.
Uh-huh. And you looked at all these different designs, and as we see in the video, a kind of triangle design works best, and if I understand this right, it's because it's similar to the nesting places the birds find in those mesquite trees.
Yes, we modeled those after their natural nest. We went out and measured everything, and we created this triangle box, which mesquite trees, when they're mature, their bark is peeling, they're creating these crevices, large branches are splitting. And that's exactly what Lucy's warblers like. And they create these two points of exit that we saw over and over again. So we decided to replicate that in our nest box design.
Oh, fascinating. So what else, Olya, have you learned from this project?
Well, actually, so like I said, this species is not very much studied. There needs to be more information, more proof for certain things. So this year we got a grant from North American Bluebird Society, and we were able to put up live cameras on nest boxes and study their every single move. So we were able to see parental care, incubation period. We've already been studying clutch size, nestling to fledging stage, and everything like that. So we were able to put together a better profile for them.
Oh. So Tucson Audubon organizes the Southeast Arizona Birding Festival every year. I think it's the 10th year. I'm not certain about that, but the planned one for this year, August 11th through 15th, that has been postponed, as most things have, due to the coronavirus pandemic. But you'll be conducting the festival in a virtual format, right?
Exactly. We're in the planning stages of planning our Zoom classes that will be offered. We encourage everyone to go on our website, TucsonAudubon.org, to learn more and stay tuned for more updates on that. We want to continue to educate the public and help them learn more about Southeast Arizona, as well as birds in general. Our 2021 festival will be in August also, and if you've never been in Tucson, I encourage you to consider our festival. It's such a unique place. We're so close to Mexico. We've got monsoonal rains, food sources, early fall migration. It's such a special place to be.
It is indeed. And that video is just terrific, watching you go around there with an endoscope and a smartphone and also a Swiffer mop handle. Am I right?
That's right.
You'll have to watch the video and see what that's all about. It's probably the best way to find that is on YouTube. Look for Lucy's Warblers or look for maybe Tucson Audubon. You'll find that video. It's pretty cool. And the website, again, TucsonAudubon.org. Olya Phillips is the Citizen Science and NestBox Program Coordinator at Tucson Audubon, TucsonAudubon.org. Good luck with your ongoing projects, Olya, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next here, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Our Mystery Bird Contest is presented by Red Start Birding. Red Start Birding is your new resource for birding optics, gear, and expertise. Great birding starts at redstartbirding.com. Well, if you're not hearing our Sunday morning show live and think you're unable to enter our Mystery Bird Contest, well, there's an easy way to do that. You can hear our show live every week online, no matter where you are. Just go to talkingbirds.com to see how to do it. It's pretty easy. And here's our Mystery Bird. Our mystery bird is a large shorebird with long legs, a long upturned bill, black and white upper parts, and a rusty or gray neck and head. Our bird is a breeding inhabitant of shallow fresh and saltwater wetlands in dry areas of western North America and parts of the southeast, and in the winter, often found on mudflats, coastal lagoons, and salt ponds. It feeds on aquatic invertebrates, which it locates by sight and snaps up or catches by touch by sweeping its long, elegant bill through the water. That's our bird. There are many birds that are like this one. 781-837-4900 is the number, and the prizes include the Droll Yankees Double Suet Feeder from Droll Yankees, makers of the world's best bird feeders. And this feeder holds 2 popular-sized suet cakes or raw suet or fruit. And it's great for bluebirds, catbirds, chickadees, nuthatches, orioles, mockingbirds, tanagers, titmice, woodpeckers. And it includes the Droll Yankees lifetime warranty against squirrel damage. Our bonus prize is the app that makes learning bird sounds a game. It's the LarkWire app, available as a download to your iOS device or for online access. Sound and clues and prizes for our Mystery Bird Contest. Please call us as soon as you can. 781-837-4900 is the number. That's 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, Mike O'Connor from the Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. Let's ask Mike in just 1 minute.
I'm for feathers, I'm
Here at Talking Birds, we're for the birds. And we want to say thanks to another Talking Birds ambassador who's helping to spread the word about our show and about birds in conservation.
My name is Laura Jimenez, and I'm calling from Carpinteria, California. I became a Talking Birds ambassador because I realized I already was being an ambassador, and getting the cards was a great supplement to telling people about the show. I would encourage all listeners to become Talking Birds ambassadors to get the word out about the show and the importance of being aware of our impact on the environment and the wonder of the birds around us.
Talking Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. It's easy to do. Just visit our website, talkingbirds.com. Click on Get Involved at the top of the homepage and then choose the Become an Ambassador option at talkingbirds.com. And thanks.
We're about to say thank you to Mike O'Connor for information about baby birds. Tis the season. He's down there at the famous Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod, to give us some advice. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Yep, it's baby bird season again. I think we all know that because all the parents are cranking out kids. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people find those babies, and then they call me like, you know, I'm just a shopkeeper. What do I know?
So it's still very confusing, I guess, about whether to try to rescue a bird, whether to leave it alone. I guess it depends on the stage of progression of that little bird. It could be a nestling or a fledgling. And what's after that, post-grad?
That's right. That's when it gets expensive.
Right.
Yeah, that's when you get the college bills.
Your description.
That's the best thing. And right away, like, obviously people want to help. At least, you know, the good people want to help. But the determinant of the nestling or fledgling. Fledgling is the birds that we see running around. Typically, it's like a robin. It's got all speckles, and it hunches down. And I think when we were all kids, we'd find, like, a baby robin. We all did the same thing. We got a shoebox and punched some holes in the top and did some, you know, put in, like, a bowl of water and a slice of white bread and said, well, that bird's going to be fine now.
What about the eyedropper, too?
Give him some water. But, you know, the basic, if it's a fledgling, it's a bird that's mobile, can flap its wings a little bit, and is standing, you know, erect and can move. The best thing to do is nothing. Just leave the bird alone. Make sure it, you know, is, you know, obviously if it's out on the sidewalk on the road, kind of scooch it into under a bush. And the parents probably have a couple of these kids running around because the birds are just ready to go, and there might be a day and a half from flying. So the parents will continue to feed them and take care of them. Just get them out of the way. Make sure your pets are inside. That's always a good thing anyways. Keep the cats and dogs inside and just leave it alone, and the parents should take care of it. If it's a nestling, that's sometimes, you know, these birds, they build their nest up in the tree, and then something happens, sometimes the windstorm, and they get tipped out of the nest. That's different. Those are those birds that are kind of half naked. They got a few feathers. Their eyes might be closed. They can barely hold their heads up. That's different. Then you've got to actually do something. The best thing to do is try to find the original nest and put them back. If the nest is still there, put them back. That nonsense about parents smelling you. You'd have to smell really, really bad for a bird to be able to smell you.
What a challenge there. Yeah.
That's right. That's just a wives' tale. So put the birds back if you can find the nest. If you can't find the nest, so say the nest is blown down, scoop up as much of the nest material and take, like, if you a hanging basket. That's a good one. Like those hanging plant baskets. We all have a few hanging around. Stuff it with material. Put some of the original nesting material in there, and then put the babies back in that and hang it back up to the tree or area you think they came from. If you don't have a hanging basket, you can create one with, like, a fruit basket or something like that, and put it back there. And the parents should come, because the parents invest a lot of time into these kids, and they want to see them grow. But don't hang around, you know, just get out of the way, because the parents will be a little bit stressed, and they'll come, and hopefully they'll continue to feed them. If you're not comfortable with any of those things, you can contact a wildlife official wildlife rehabilitator in your area, and they're easy to find online. And, you know, and don't give me the excuse, well, we don't have the internet. No, come on, everybody has the internet. And if you don't, call somebody who does and have them look up, because there's an easy list of all these places, and you can get one nearby who would either take it or give you some advice. But don't try to raise it on your own. That's not a good idea.
And there's probably a library somewhere near you that does have internet.
That'll have up to date information from 1945.
Right. All right, thank you, Mike.
Okay, talk next week, Ray.
Mike O'Connor down there at the famous Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod.
Every Wednesday, Birdwatching Magazine sends an e-newsletter full of information of interest to birdwatchers, including recent news stories about birds, conservation, and science, photography tips, stories about places to go birding, bird ID tips, and much more. Best of all, the newsletter is free. Sign up today at birdwatchingdaily.com/newsletter.
We're back to the Mystery Bird Contest. There's our mystery bird, 781-837-4900. And Dave is, as we are, in Marshfield, Massachusetts. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think, Dave? Mystery bird?
I think it's the herring myself.
The herring?
Yeah.
Or the heron?
Heron.
Well,
heron,
does, yeah. It's not either one of those, though.
No? Oh,
you
no.
Got two guesses out of that, one fish and one bird.
Dave, what is it?
Well, we can't say what it is
yet. Oh, okay, because I was going to call back right away.
Try us again, Dave.
No, I will. Thank
all right.
You.
All right. Okay, not a herring or a heron, but let's see what Joseph somewhere in Virginia thinks it might be. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning.
Good morning. Would you like to say where in Virginia, or you want to just keep it to the state?
I'm in central Virginia, Richmond.
In Richmond. All right. Well,
yes, sir.
You just heard a guess. There are a couple of guesses, I guess you could say, and neither one of those were what we were looking for. What do you say on the mystery bird?
It's an American avocet.
I believe you are correct. Yes. Nice going.
Yes.
American avocet. It makes its way to Virginia, too, doesn't it? You probably see them around there.
Breeding.
Breeding in Virginia, yes.
Pardon me, migration.
Migration, okay. All right. Yes,
yeah.
The American avocet. This is really just an interesting little thing about this. It sometimes issues a series of call notes, they tell us, that gradually change pitch, simulating the Doppler effect, making its movements seem faster than they actually are, to trick predators. That's kind of amazing.
Wow.
Hey, we have time for a bonus question. Would you like to try it?
Sure.
Okay. This is a multiple choice question, but it's a little bit of a goofy question, so keep that in mind. Which of the following does not exist? Which of the following does not exist? A, the beagle. B, the meagle. C, the peagle. Or D, the seagull. Which of those do not actually exist, at least the way we look at it?
The meagle?
Not the meagle. The meagle, they tell us, is actually a crossbreed between a beagle and a miniature pincher. And the beagle,
great.
And I mean the peagle, is a cross between a beagle and a Pekingese. But but we like to say there's no such thing as a seagull.
As a seagull, yeah. Of course.
I told you it was a little bit of a goofy question. Dave, thank you so much. Stay on the line and we'll arrange to send you those prizes.
Thanks for that.
The American avocet. We're out of time. We'll find out next week about some sensational citizen science projects being done down in the place they call the natural state when we welcome Audubon Arkansas's Director of Bird Conservation, Dan Scheiman, as our special guest. That's next week here on Talkin' Birds. Thanks to our amazing Talkin' Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, Frey McGregor, our special assistant, Audrey Stack, and our producing engineer, Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store. Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By Celestron. Offering binoculars and scopes for birders of all levels. Celestron.com. By Birds and Beans shade-grown, bird-friendly coffee. Birdsandbeans.com.
And here's a special message from our friends at Ocean State Bird Club. They can't lead their free group walks right now, but they hope you're still getting your outdoor time in by watching birds. Find Ocean State Bird Club online at oceanstatebirdclub.org. Find them on Facebook. And you can tell them what you're seeing as the spring migration continues. Ocean State Bird Club.